everybody listening online. We've got a growing online audience every single week, and I know many in this room, when you've been out of town or maybe the kid's sick, you've listened online as well, so we want to welcome those listening today. And I know many of you were here last week, but wasn't last week incredible? Can somebody celebrate with me? Vision Sunday last week, it was awesome. Maybe I need to provide pom-poms every week. I don't know, but there was just a celebration, something in the atmosphere, and we had a lot of fun last week. And so if this is your first Sunday worshiping with us, or first time in a long time, or maybe you missed last week, I'd encourage you to go on our website and listen to that message. That'll really catch you up to speed. We celebrated what God's done this last year. We cast vision for the next 3 months or so, and then also I shared a message that I believe is very timely for us called Stand Firm. It'd be worth your time to listen later on today or this week online to catch up if you weren't here, but we celebrated a lot on Vision Sunday. And one of the exciting things we talked about that I want to hit briefly again today, and we'll talk about every once in a while these next several weeks, not every week, but I want to highlight again our special Christmas offering. And there's a lot of things that I love about our church, some things that we've added, some things we've changed, but I'm really proud of this because this will be on Sunday, December 16th. This will only be the second time we've come to you with a special offering. And I just think that's pretty cool to be a part of a church that doesn't hound you or every other week or once a month. There's this huge need, but just a couple of times strategically throughout the year, we say, you know what? In several weeks from now, we've got something big coming up and we just want you to pray and we want you to listen to God and do what he says. And I'm proud to be a part of a church like that. And so on December the 16th, our goal, our heart is to raise $7,000. And I want to quickly cover the different lanes that this hits because we're excited about these things and we hope you are too. Number one, we want to help fund our benevolence ministry here at the church. There's actually people in this room that we've helped financially. You've been in financial crisis, and we want to continue to be able to do that with Christ Covenant members. The second thing is we want to help end human trafficking everywhere by funding A21.org. Now, there's a lot. Yeah, you can clap for that. There's a lot of amazing organizations that do this, but we just felt like God led us to this one for this specific moment. I'd encourage you to look them up online later on, but this is appalling to me, and it should be to you, but sadly today, 2018, the year we live in, there are more slaves now in the world than ever before throughout history. Like today, 2018, there's millions and millions of slaves, and it needs to end on our watch and on our dime. And so we're not happy with how things are. They should get better. They must get better. Sadly, only 1%, and sex trafficking is a part of what I'm talking about, but only 1% are ever rescued. That's far too little, far too few, and so we want to do something about it. We're excited about that. Number three, we want to send another mailer to thousands of homes, 5,000 homes around our church building, and we had an amazing opportunity for our September series, Overwhelmed. Many new people come in because of that first mailer we sent out, and we want to send another one out for Easter in April. And then lastly, we want to accelerate the vision that we share here at Christ Covenant, heaven full and hell empty. We've got things we want to do with our next gen, and so we're going to move at the speed of your generosity. If half of that comes in, then we'll do half the things that you see behind me on the screen. If more than that comes in, I got other stuff I haven't even told you about yet that we'll be able to do. And so we're believing God. Like, I'm standing firm and believing God that we're going to hit that number on Sunday, December the 16th. My wife and I, we're going to sacrifice and lead the way. Here's how I lead, by the way. I will never ask you to do something that I'm not willing to do myself. And so I'm going to lead the way in this strong like I have every single week. And so we're going to continue to do that, and we're excited about the days ahead. If you got a copy of God's Word with you, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 2. We start a brand new series called Generosity. And I said this last week, but for the English majors in the room, there's a C instead of an S in that word on purpose, because we're going to go out into our city and be generous. So Acts chapter 2 is where we're at today. And we're going to start in verse 42 and go all the way through verse 47. I'm reading from the New King James Version, my personal favorite translation of the Bible, but whatever you got will work wonders for you. And of course, we've got a giant Bible on the screen here if you're in this room. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42. I'm going to get started today because I got a lot to share. Here's what God says to us. Here's God's word. Verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now, all who believed were together, and guess what? They had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. That's pretty much the opposite, I think, of 2018. That's what they did. Verse 46, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness, simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And what did the Lord do? The Lord added, wasn't personality driven or event driven, the Lord, God himself, added to the church daily those who were being saved. I'm calling this message today, if you'd like to take notes in church, which you should, it'd be a great idea. But here's the title of my message, Destined for Impact. I hope you'll jot that down. Destined for Impact. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the growth. We thank you for the salvations, everything that we celebrated last week, and we continue to celebrate. But God, we are not satisfied. There are still far too many people that are away from you. Even in the great city of Houston, there are millions, millions that do not know you, that are not living their life for you. And so we pray, I pray that you begin to use this church, this people, in supernatural ways to reach out and be generous. God, that we would be different from the world and the culture, that we would look like you, and that people would see you in our good deeds. That in our kindness and in our serving and in our giving with no strings attached, that people would see the love of God and that the good deed would be connected to the good news and that lives would be changed. God, I believe this about our church, that we are a church destined for impact. That the Christ followers listening today, they are Christ followers destined for impact. So help us to do what we can to impact this city, our state, our nation, and the world. We love you, and it's in Jesus' mighty and holy name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. What we just read in Acts chapter 2 is the beginning of the Christian church. Like literally, we just read about the first Christian church. There was no blueprint before it, no guide, nothing to model it off of. The unadulterated first Christian church. This is right after the Peter, one of the disciples, an apostle. This is right after he presented the gospel message and 3,000 people got saved. This is what we just read. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a pretty amazing altar call that Peter had. 3,000 people. And oh, by the way, I've told this to you before, but Peter was not anybody special. In fact, Peter was someone that just verses, chapters before, denied Jesus. Not just that, but Peter lied to Jesus' face. He did all of that. He denied him several times. And then there he is, just a few verses and chapters later, saying, you know what? Jesus is the only way, and 3,000 people get saved. It's a pretty epic moment, I think we can all agree. And it's worth speaking, and this is not my message, but I want to say one sentence on it, that we serve a God of second chances. We do. I've talked about that many times, and I'm going to keep on preaching it. Denied Jesus multiple times, lied to Jesus' face. I will never turn my back on you. And he did the very thing he said he would never do. And yet there he is, redeemed by God and preaching the gospel, and 3,000 people get saved and the church begins. That's right before Acts chapter 2. And that's what we read today, the first Christian church. And so all these people get saved, the first Christian church. And they were a church that was devoted to Jesus. And they were a church that they set in stone some very intentional things. They had some attributes, some characteristics that were so vital to them. And can I tell you today, they should be so vital to us. Because so often, churches are led by man and not by God. They're personality driven. They're about systems more than they're about Jesus. And so what I thought we would do today at the beginning of the series called Generosity, Trying to Impact Our City, what I thought we'd do today is just go back to the beginning. The unadulterated first Christian church. Like, what did they do? What did they look like? What attributes were present there that we got to make sure we have here today at Christ Covenant Church? What did it look like, and what should our church look like? I got to tell you, if we want to change our city for Jesus, there are specific things that we should be doing that we can't dare lose sight of. And so if you're taking notes, I want you to write down a few of these that I have today. I'm calling it kind of this, or kind of phrasing it this way. A church that's destined for impact has these things. So a church that's destined for impact has, number one, connectivity. Connectivity. I hope you'll write that down. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about this. The first Christian church, they were connecting constantly with Jesus. Like constantly connecting and seeking God. We see this in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread. I read this week that the breaking of bread, some scholars believe that they were actually talking about communion. So communion, they were praying together, verse 43. Fear came upon every soul, and what happened? Signs and wonders, miracles took place. The beginning of verse 47, what were they doing? They were praising God. And I've got to tell you, hear me, Christ Covenant Church, Jesus must always be our focus. Like, Jesus is our message. We've got to constantly be getting in environments and moments where we can connect with God, where we can praise God, where we can worship God, where we can take communion together, where we can pray together, where we can fast together. This must be priority for us, and it was with them. Jesus is our message, and he's the one that we're seeking. And I want to tell you today, hear this from your senior pastor, that if our gatherings, if our events, if they're not marked by God's presence, we're just a club and not a church. Like, if we're just getting together, like playing patty cake with God, oh, praise God, and this thing, bless you, sir, and then we walk out and nothing really happened, then we're just a club. I got to tell you, I don't pray and fast and study all week long for these messages to give you a TED talk. It's not why I'm here. I'm here every single Sunday. I'm here today. I'll be here next week and the week after to preach God's word to you, because you don't need some inspirational speech from some person who like spits too much. No, you need God's word. I want to preach Jesus. I'm going to preach Jesus. We've got to be all about him. We've got to focus on God in everything that we do. I talked about this before, but this is how I view my role here, my job at the church. I almost see myself as a spiritual tour guide. I really do. Like, maybe somebody will give me one of those cool, like, cute little hats one day. I don't know. But like that's what I see myself. Like, I'm constantly trying to get you in moments where you can connect with God. Like, that's my job. When we pray through and plan through these services, we're trying to create many opportunities for you to connect with God. When we pray and fast in January, we're trying to create moments and opportunities where you can connect with God. It's what changes things. It's not me. It's not an elder or a staff member. Jesus is the only one. A church is destined for impact. They're constantly connecting with Jesus. I can tell you how great Jesus is until I have no air left in my lungs, and I'll do that. But I got to tell you, until you experience Jesus for yourself, it's just words. It's just words. I was thinking back to when we first got to Houston about a year ago, and we got here, and we're brand new to the area. I'm from Dallas. My wife's from Nevada, and so we didn't know anything about Houston. And so people were telling us all these things, like, hey, you got to check out this place, and hey, you need to do, yeah, go to NASA. I mean, come on, you got to do those kinds of things, and all these Houston-type deals. And one of the things that people told us pretty early on is that there's this restaurant you got to go to. Like, you got to go to this place. It's a little bit expensive. You go there for anniversaries, birthdays, like something special, but you've got to go to this place. And it's a little place. You've probably never heard of it. I'm talking about A Taste of Texas. And yeah. And so people were telling us, like, you got to go, you got to go. And so one of the families in our church is really awesome. They actually gave us a gift card to go. And so I think it was a couple of months after we were here. We had our baby girl. We've got a five-year-old son. But we have a baby girl that was just born third week here. And so I think she was like a month or 2 years old. And And we went there, and we had to experience, like, what was all the hype about, right? Like, what's all this fuss about? And so we went there, and they kind of put us, like, in the family corner. And so, like, all the other, like moms and dads with, like, little kids, we were all kind of put to the side. And I got to tell you, it was a religious experience, y'all. I met Jesus in that place. It was good. And, like even the salad bar. Like, I never thought in my wildest dreams that I'd get excited about salad. But the salad bar was on point. I mean, it was incredible. It was a great experience. But again, I wasn't a believer until I experienced it for myself. Because people had told me it was great. But they've told me that about many things in my life. And it wasn't so great when I actually experienced it. But once I experienced it, I was a believer. And that's how it works with Jesus. I can preach the best sermon that's ever been preached before in the history of mankind. I could talk about the 16 fundamental truths or these great things. I could talk about this doctrine and that doctrine. I could do all of that. I could have the best illustration where even the hardest heart is like they're just weeping. Like, I can do all of that. But until you meet Jesus for yourself, you will not be a believer. You got to encounter him. Can I tell you today that when you meet Jesus, your life will never be the same again? And so if you think you've met Jesus, but your life is no different than before, then you haven't really met him. It's just the truth. You can't help but meet Jesus and be changed. It will happen. Doesn't mean you won't struggle, but you will be changed. And so we've got to connect with Jesus. We've got to experience him for ourselves. Number two. A church destined for impact, a Christ follower destined for impact, has this community. Community. The early church, they consistently spent time not just with God, but together. Don't believe me? Let me show you again. The beginning of verse 42, they continue steadfastly in a lot of things, but also fellowship. The beginning of verse 44, now all who believed were together. The beginning of verse 46, they continued daily, every day. They broke bread together, but also they were in each other's homes. Y'all know what we do in our neighborhoods. We pull into the driveway, garage door goes up, we go in, garage door goes down, then we get out of our cars. That's how it works here in America. But the Bible tells us there's a different way that you would be in community, that you'd be spending time with other believers. Excuse me. What's the Bible saying? The Bible's saying this: we are better together. I say this in Growth Track, but the church is not meant to be a crowd, but instead a contagious community. Not meant to be a crowd, but a contagious community. What's the difference? Here's the difference. When you leave the crowd, no one notices. But when you leave community, everybody notices. Like, you're missed. And so I'm encouraging you today. I'm challenging you today. You've got to get in community, a place where you know others and they know you. Get in a group. Serve on a volunteer team. Be here more consistently. Because here's what I've realized. That when people fall into sin and when people start to drift away from God, a lot of times the first response is to isolate. Because we're embarrassed about it. We're convicted about it. And so there's some stuff going on. There's some issues there. And so our natural inclination oftentimes is to isolate. Think about your life. I'm going to pull away. And if you pull away from the crowd, no one notices. But if you pull away from community, your community notices. And so, for example, if you're in a connect group, if you're on a volunteer team, they're going to be the first ones to notice. And they're going to call you. They're going to text you, not to put judgment on you, but to say, how are you doing? Like, are you okay? Can I pray with you? I got to tell you, we've got groups in our church that when someone's going through a financial situation, they'll raise money together. It's not a requirement, but they just say, you know what? We love this person. We know their story. We're going to help them out. There's groups and volunteer teams in our church that the second they see someone drifting away, something they posted on social media, they've been absent for a while from church, they're reaching out and saying, hey, how are you doing? I love you. I care for you. God has called us to be a part of community. You need it more than you know. And here's what's scary, and it really is scary. We live in a world where you can have over 1,000 friends or followers on social media and yet be all alone. It's the world we live in. I'm not anti-social media, I'm not. We're gonna use it for Jesus. We use it at this church. We're gonna use whatever we can, whatever platform. Not anti-internet, whatever. But it's scary to me that we can feel like we're in community when we just have followers and likes on social media. God has called you to know others and to be known by others. And I know there's risk involved. I know it's scary. I know it's messy because I know y'all's mess. I know it. Like, I know there's some skeletons in your closet, but guess what? There are some in mine too. Like, none of us are perfect, so let's stop pretending like we're perfect. Here's what we do on social media. You know, like, we've got two kids, my wife and I. We'll go to NASA. We did that. We'll go to NASA, and we post on social media the great, cute picture in front of one of the airplanes they have there that took up a, we did all that. But what we don't post is both kids throwing up 2 hours before. You know, us getting in a fight and an argument. This is not us, it's just some other couple, you know? And so, like, we don't post that. We post, like, the great first date kind of environment. Like, everything's perfect. We're great. No issues here. That's not community. You trying to cover up your warts with makeup, it's not going to work. That's not community. You need to know others, and they need to know you, junk and all. Here's what I've learned. Everybody has junk, just some people are better at covering it up. But eventually, you will be sold out, and the truth will set you free. It will happen. But God's called you to community. I love this quote, it won't be on the screen, but I love this quote by Nancy Ortberg. I think this is powerful. Here's what she says about community. Community is one of the most powerful concepts in the Bible, and it really is. In Genesis, it begins with it. That's the first book in the Bible. In Revelation, the last book, closes with it. It's God's people living together with God at their center. It's the way of life out of which evangelism, discipleship emerge. Community is where we learn the truth about ourselves, where we are deeply loved, where walls are broken down, and where people who are usually excluded are included. That's what God wants for you. There's risk involved, it's messy, but it's a far better life. It's a more fruitful life than isolating yourself. It's a safer life. We are better together. The next one is this, if you're taking notes, number three, unity. Unity. The first church, they had the same vision. It's the middle of verse 44. They had all things in common. The beginning of verse 46, they continued daily with one accord in the temple, in the church. They had the same vision, and we must have the same vision as well. We've said it many times today, and we talk about it every single week, but it's heaven full and hell empty. It's why we do what we do. And I just want to be honest and transparent with you that it's why I sacrifice our vision, heaven full and hell empty. It's why I moved my family to Houston. It's heaven full and it's hell empty. It's why I give. It's why I tithe. It's why I serve. It's why I fast. It's why I pray. It's why I do what I do. And it should be that way for you. God has called us not to division, but to unity. And think about that word division. Maybe you've heard this before, but it's division, two visions. That's what division is. And so we're all to come together, unified, united under one vision. And that's to reach people that are far from God, to develop disciples. The early church, they had this mission, right? That everything that they could do, whatever they could leverage, even their own stuff, they would do whatever it took. They were all in so one more person could encounter Jesus. They gave everything so one more person could be discipled. And that's what God has called us to. Not division, but unity. In fact, anytime I sniff out division in this church, I attack it. I do. In fact, and I would, of course, not ever say anyone's name publicly, but there's even some people in this church that I've gone after you and said, hey, let's meet because I've heard some things. Why? Because the devil is about division, but God is about unity. And so I won't put up with that at all. We have one mission, and our time is short, y'all. I don't know if you see it, but who knows? Like, the world could literally end tonight It could. Jesus could come back a second time tomorrow. Our time is short, and so we've got to do whatever we can do united together to see one more person come to know Jesus. The first church was united, and they had the same mission, the same cause. One more person coming to know Jesus. And friend, you know this, but unity doesn't happen by accident. Unity doesn't happen by osmosis. I wish it did. I wish it was that simple. It happens on purpose. We're either going to intentionally divide or intentionally unite. It's going to be one or the other. I think about my wife and I. Just because we said I do years ago, and just because we live under the same roof does not mean that we will be automatically united. Just the truth. If you're married, you understand that. It's the same way with church. Just because we meet once a week on Sundays for an hour and 15 minutes doesn't mean we'll be automatically united. Just because we love Jesus doesn't mean we'll be automatically united. We've got to be intentional. And God has called us to unite, not around a personality, not around a building that's a tool. God has called us to unite around the cause for Christ. Heaven full and hell empty. The fourth thing is this, number four, generosity. I'm hitting the home stretch. The landing gear is out on the plane. We're getting there. But number four is generosity. It's the whole theme of this month, and I'm hoping that it will become our theme for forever, not just November. But the early church, the first Christian church, they helped others selflessly. It blows me away. I want to read verse 45 again. What did they do? They sold their possessions and goods. They divided them among all as anyone had need. This is the theme of this series, generosity, but I want to say it to you again today. Genuine generosity was the hallmark of the first century church, and it should be the hallmark of the 21st century church. It's our theme, and I want to say it again. Genuine generosity was the hallmark of the first century church, and it should be the hallmark of the 21st century church. So what God wants to do is he wants to unlock the hearts of generosity in his people, that we would not be stingy, that we would not keep our blessings to ourselves, but God would bless it in our hand, and then we would extend out the hand to bless someone else. That almost like we'd be open-handed and not closed-fisted. I got to tell you today, I don't know if you've seen the show called Hoarders, but a lot of times God's people were hoarders with his blessings. Like, I want to be blessed, but I'm keeping it to me. This is my blessing. You get your own blessing. This is mine. But God's called us to act differently. And so if you're selfish and stingy, like many people are in our world, God's calling you to change. God doesn't need to change. You need to change. Just being honest with you. Holding my hand, what Dante talked about. But these acts of kindness, this is our movement this month. And I love that you literally took them all last week, and I hope they'll all be gone again. Now, I don't take them and like waste them, because they cost money. They're cheap, but they still cost something. But if you're going to use them, grab them out. We've already used them this week. We're going to keep using them. We want to connect the good deed to the good news. Hear my heart and hear God's heart. God cares about a hungry belly being filled up. He does. Absolutely. We care too. But do you know, and it's in his word, that he cares more about a soul being saved. And so oftentimes, the good deed opens up the door for the good news. You care about my physical needs, so I'm going to open up to the spiritual side of things. So that's what we want you to do. Go into your office complex, into your school, into the byways and highways, like neighborhood. And that's why we got ideas online. That's why we got ideas in your worship guide, because we want to help you get out there and be Jesus to someone else, to be his representation. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. Amen. And you got to step out into that. So we hope that you'll use these. And when God does a miracle, and he will, let us know about it so we can celebrate. Let's connect the good deed with the good news. Number five, I close with this one. Multiplicity. Multiplicity. The church did all those things we just talked about, and what was the result? The church grew. People got saved. That uncle that drives you crazy, and you're counting down the days, not in a good way, to Thanksgiving and Christmas. Like, I cannot wait. It's great to see him come, but it's great to see him go. Bless God. You know, that person beside you in your office in the next cubicle, that they eat their chips way too loud. They smack that gum. And they're selfish and they manipulate and they try to do that. They're always complaining. Do you know that Jesus loves them? He loves that crazy uncle. Like, Jesus loves them all. And so God has called us to reach out and to grow. But we're not responsible for the growing, God is. But we're responsible for the going. What did the Bible say? The Lord added to their number daily those that were being saved. We're not trying to create a move of man. We want to be in the middle of a move of God, where God would change the city, but he's looking for people that will go out and be his hands and be his feet. Talk about this in Growth Track. I'll hit it quickly and then we're going to pray. But if you study verses 42 through 47, what we just read and what I just preached on, if you study that, you see a model for God's blessing. It's three parts. Number one, or letter A, is the church. They focused on God. Now, it's easy for myself as a pastor to be focused on people, because people have needs and God doesn't have needs. We're way more high maintenance than God, okay? So it's easy for me to make decisions and our leadership to make decisions based on people. Well, Pastor Ryan, I wish you'd stop talking about this, or I wish you'd start talking about that, or why are we giving money to this? We should give money to that, or why is this happening? Why is this? It's easy for me to be moved by you. But that's not what the first church did. The first church, they actually focused on God. And so I'm gonna do that. The second thing, and this is actually incredible, but as they focused on God, people benefited from that. And so the best way I can help you is not to focus on you, but focus on God. It's just the truth. And when we focus on God, you will benefit from that. Because it's all about God. I've told you before and I'll tell you again. You're not even the main character in your own story. So we're gonna focus on God. People will benefit. And then the third thing, or letter C, is this. Stuff will be used up in the process. It takes resources. It takes money. It takes serving. Like, stuff is gonna be used up in the process. We're gonna have to paint the walls again. We'll have to get new carpet here or there. Like, we're gonna have to do those things because things are gonna get used up when there's people there. When we help people that need help on a bill, or we do this thing in our neighborhood and we give this many backpacks away, or we donate this or that, like, stuff is gonna get used up in the process. But when we do those things, we see a model for God's blessing. The Lord added to their number daily. That's what God's called us to. Will you bow your heads with me? Close your eyes. God, I pray for my friends today. God, I pray for them individually, them as families, and not just the ones in this room, but the ones listening online. And God, I just pray right now that you'd help them to push past any distractions, to not think about the next thing or the next day or the next week or this holiday coming up. They would laser in on this moment. And I just pray, God, that out of these five areas, these characteristics of the first Christian church, I pray, God, that if they individually are lacking in any of those areas, I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd whisper it to their heart right now. What are you saying? What are you speaking? God, if they haven't been connecting with you, or maybe they do once a week, but God, if it's just once a week, they're gonna be anemic in their faith. We can't eat once a week. God, you wanna daily spend time with us. I'm not talking about hours of prayer and reading the word. I'm not talking about fasting every day. I'm just saying moments throughout your day, connecting in with your Creator. God, if they've been isolating themselves, they've been scared to really get a part of community, to plug in and serve, to plug into a connect group, to get to know others, to invite somebody to lunch, or to even say yes to someone inviting them. God, if they've been pulling away, Holy Spirit, I pray you whisper it to their heart right now. It's not what I've called you to. You're in danger. Get in community. God, I pray that if there's anybody underneath the sound of my voice, that maybe a church they've been at before, or maybe even in this church, God, there's been a little bit of division there, a little bit of a complaining spirit, Holy Spirit, just whisper gently to them. I pray that you'd bring them back. Let's be united together. We can disagree about the small things, but let's agree on the big things. We're going to preach the gospel. We're going to see people saved and set free. I pray if there's anybody listening today that they've been stingy, God, they haven't been generous. I know they may not have much, but they can smile at people. They can encourage others with their voice, with the text. They can write a letter. They can bake cookies. They can do all these things. It's not about money. That's part of it, but not all of it. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would speak. I call out to them in the name of Jesus that they would become the generous people you've called them to be. That we're not going to hoard your blessings. It's going to come to us and then through us. And we pray lastly, God, for this church. We thank you for the growth we're experiencing. But God, we are not done. There's too many people that are far from you. And God, as we focus on you, people are going to benefit. And then resources are going to be used. But all of it's for just one more person, one more family to give their life to you. And I want to do that right now today with no one looking but me. We do this every single week. It's why we do what we do. It's why I pray for you. It's why we fast. It's why we give. It's why we study. It's why we serve. For this moment, right here, right now. If there's anybody listening live in this room or listening online that you see your life and you know you are far from God, no pastor needs to point his finger in your face and tell you your sin. You know your sin. You know your thoughts. You know your actions. You know your disobedience. And if there's anybody here that's you today, you are far from God. I'm not angry at you, and God's not angry at you. God is looking down. He is passionately, lovingly. He got his face turned in your direction. He cares for you. He loves you so much. I love you too. And so right now, you feel it on the inside that the Holy Spirit is drawing you. It's almost like somebody came in physically and they're tugging at your shirt. That's not an emotion. It's not a guilt thing. The Holy Spirit's convicting you. He's saying, I want you home. I want our relationship right. God cares for you. So no one looking but me, please. This is you, me, and God right now. But if you're far from God, but you want to make things right, you want to commit your life to Christ or maybe recommit your life to Christ, could you raise your hand? Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. God, you're so good. Anyone else? Yes, I see it. I see it. Man, it's awesome. It's awesome. Anyone else? Don't miss your moment. Yes, I see you. You can put it down. God, you're awesome. God, we thank you for your love. If you're listening online and you need to respond, God sees you. He sees you. God, thank you for speaking. So here's what we're going to do. Eyes still closed, just honoring this holy moment. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. The five that raised their hand here in this room, anybody that raised their hand just spiritually, just on the inside, listening on the other end. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. It's a repeat after me thing, but I got to tell you today, it's not about saying the words just right. It's about meeting them with your heart. And here's the cool thing about this church is you're not alone. So the Christ followers in this room, they're going to say it out loud with you. Your voice is not going to be isolated. We're family. We're in this together. In fact, all of the Christ followers in this room, including myself, we've said this prayer. And we're excited to welcome you into the family of God. It's a prayer that thanks Jesus for his love. It's a prayer that puts your faith, your belief in him and what he did on the cross. It's a prayer that asks Jesus to forgive you of your sins. And if you'll say that out loud and believe it in your heart, you can know that you know that you know that you'll be in heaven. It's what God wants for you. It's what we want for you. So those that raised their hand a moment ago and all the Christ followers as support, I want you loud and proud because of the specialness of this moment. I want you to repeat this after me. Say this, dear Jesus, We thank you.
We thank you
for your love.
For your love.
And I ask you now.
And I ask you now
to forgive me.
To forgive me
of every sin.
Of every sin.
Of every mistake.
Of every mistake.
I make you.
I make you
the Lord of my life.
The Lord of my life.
Jesus, I believe.
Jesus, I believe
that you died on the cross.
That you died on the cross.
That you rose from the dead.
That you rose from the dead.
And I put my faith.
I put my faith.
I put my trust.
I put my trust
in you.
In you.
And you alone.
And you alone.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Help me.
Help me
to live my life.
To live my life
for you.
For you.
Come on, tell him this. Jesus.
Jesus.
I surrender all.
I surrender all.
My future.
My future
is yours.
Is yours.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen, amen, amen. Can somebody clap their hands? Can somebody celebrate? Thank you, Lord. I don't know about you, but that was fun. That was fun. If you're able to, would you stand to your feet all across this place? I've got in my hand what's called a Start Bible Kit. You'll see it on the screen if you're here in this room. But please, those of you that just raised your hand, pick one of these up. They're free in the back. This is your next steps, your journey. With God, remember, I'm that tour guide. Picture me with that little hat on, okay? And we want to help you.